Okay, good morning, everybody. So today what we're going to talk about is the following. I was driving on Friday with my daughter back from my parents' house. We went to Sacred Shabbos. And on the way back, I got a phone call from a guy who identified himself only as Alex. So I don't know who it is. It didn't sound like any Alexes that I know. And he told me that he has the following problem. He said that he and his wife were invited to somewhere for Suda Shabbos on Friday night. And his wife told him that you should just know that the guy whose house we're eating at tonight has some interesting shitos. So he said, what do you mean, interesting shitos? So she said, well, you know, he's fully shomer Torah mitzvos. He keeps kosher and Shabbos, and he davens three times a day, and he wears tefillin and everything like that. But he doesn't believe that Maimon Har Sinai ever happened. He thinks that the Torah is divinely inspired, but is not really purely divine. Meaning, like, he thinks that, like, a bunch of different people at different stages wrote different parts of it and were divinely inspired, that God put ideas into their head, but not that it was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So, what's his Shaila? I thought he was going somewhere and he went somewhere else. What's his Shaila? What? So that's where I thought he was going in terms of kashrus. Can I eat at this place? Can I trust the kashrus at this place? So that's not what he was asking, though. He said, no, my shaila is, can I be Yotze Kiddush? The guy's going to say Kiddush. We're going to be guests at his house, and he's going to recite Kiddush. Are we Yotze Kiddush with this fellow? So I thought that was an interesting shaila, and here's why I thought it was interesting. Well, first of all, I'll tell you, you know, what I told him right off the bat is that no need to even be nichnas into the shaila. Just tell him you'd like to make your own Kiddush, that you're makbid to make your own Kiddush. It's not such an unbelievable possibility that a person likes to make their own Kiddush. In fact, Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Reish Ayin Gimel that you could be Yotze Kiddush through somebody else. We use the vehicle, the mechanism of Shomea Ka'ona in order to be Yotze Kiddush with somebody else. But there is a machlokas in the poskim whether that's ideal. Meaning, if you're at someone's house, you ever been at someone's house where they say, would you like to make your own Kiddush? Right? So people offer that all the time. What's the right answer to that question? Meaning, what's the correct thing to do in that situation? Is there one, is it better to say, yes, I'd like to make my own Kiddush? Or is it better to say, no, I'd rather be Yotze with you? So what would you say? What are the relevant principles? So on the one hand, you have a concept of Baravam Hadras Melech, that when a mitzvah is done by a large group of people all at once, it's a greater glory, Takarosh Baruch Hu, it's a greater mitzvah when it's Baravam. On the other hand, you have a principle of mitzvah bo yoser mi bishlucho. Better to do a mitzvah yourself rather than have someone else do it for you. So the poskim actually debate this very issue. The Tosefes Shabbos writes that we're not worried about mitzvah bo yoser mi bishlucho because shomea kaona is not shlucho. It's not working within shlichus. Shomea kaona is you. When you hear someone else say kiddush and you're yotze with that, that's mamish the same as you saying kiddush yourself. That's not called the Shliach doing the mitzvah for you. That's not a second-rate mitzvah. However, the Olas Shabbos and the Prima Gadim say no. Better to say your own Kiddush, because mitzvah bo, yosem b'shlucha. Why should be yotze with someone else if you can do it yourself? And just like, whether it's considered shlichus or not considered shlichus is not really the point. The point is that why do we assume mitzvah bo, yosem b'shlucha? It's a general idea that if I could do something myself, I should do it myself. So if I could say Kiddush myself, says Prima Gadim, I might as well say it myself. So since you have this machlokas anyway, by the way, what are they arguing about? What's the nekudas hamachlokas over here? So there are several possibilities of what the nekudas hamachlokas is, but one possibility of what the nekudas hamachlokas is, what is the principle of shomea ke'ona, right? I mean, whenever you have anything ke, something else. So you always have a chakira. You'll always have a lamdash chakira. Does ke mean the equivalent of, or does ke mean similar to? Right, so the shomea ke'ona, that by hearing kiddush, it's mamish like I'm saying kiddush. Well, then there's no mitzvah bo yosem shlucho because it's I'm doing it. It's ke'ona. Or do you say nah shomea ke'ona? It's not quite like ona. It's not quite like I'm saying it myself. It approximates ona. It approximates saying it myself. So that if you say that, then you would apply the principle of Mitzvah and Mishluch. So I thought that, you know, at the very outset, you don't necessarily have to get into the Shaila, right? There's a simple way out. You could just say, a lot of times when I'm at someone's house, I'll say, you know, I just have a personal hakpada. If I'm at someone's house for Shabbos lunch, let's say, and they say Kiddush on a little shot glass of schnapps. So, like Hasidim have a tradition that you're allowed to do that, but the pashtus in halacha is you're not allowed to do that, right? So you need to have wine because you can't use chamar medina if wine is available, and you need to have a revius, and those little shot glasses aren't a revius. So sometimes I have a very good friend who comes from a more Hasidic lineage. Every once in a while, we're at their house for a Shabbos lunch. So he'll make his kefi, his tradition. He'll make his kiddush on a shot glass of some schnapps, and then he'll offer me, and he'll say, "Would you like to make your own kiddush?" And I would say, "Yes, I very much would. Do you happen to have wine?" And and I'll make kiddush on wine. So it's not so crazy that someone would be makvid about something like this. So, okay, but that's the way to avoid the shayla. But let's actually deal with the shayla. Let's not avoid the shayla. What would the halacha be? Can you be Yotzei Kiddush with such a fellow, with a guy who has such errant beliefs? So what do you call a guy who doesn't believe in Maimon Har Sinai, who thinks that the Torah was written by a bunch of different people at different times, even with some sort of divine inspiration? Is there a title? Is there a word? Is there a name for a guy like that? Apikores. Yeah, there is a name for a guy like that. It's called an apikores. In fact, the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Chelek, at the very end of Misach Sanhedrin, says, V'eila she'im lahem chelek v'olam haba. Everyone gets all excited about the first line of Perek Chelek. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek v'olam haba. They don't realize all the rest of the Perek is, except for, and it goes through all the people that don't have a chelek in olam haba. Rabbi Reisman told me that when he started learning Navi, when he was learning Perek Chelek, because he saw the list of people who don't have a chelek v'olam haba. I think he was a high school student at the time, and he was learning late night Seder, and he'd say with his chavrusa, and he saw a list of people that don't have a chelek l'olam haba, Doeg and Achitofel and Menashe, and he's thinking, who the heck are these people? And I don't know any of these people. I know Menashe, but that's the son of Yosef. Why wouldn't he have a chelek in olam haba? Like, he couldn't figure any of it out. From the expression on some of your faces, it seems that you can't either. You should probably start learning some Navi. So he said that he went over to Rabbi Belsky, Zichron Levracha, and he said, who's Doeg? Who's Achitofel? And why does Menashe not have a chelek in olam haba? And Rabbi Belsky said, you're kidding, right? He's like, no, I'm not kidding. He's like, you really need to learn a little bit of Navi. So now he's like, known as an expert in Navi. But the Mishnah says, who doesn't have a chelek in olam haba? So it identifies individuals that don't have a chelek in olam haba, but it also identifies categories of people that don't have a chelek in olam haba. For example, ha'omer ein Torah min ha'shamayim. Someone who denies the pure divine origin of the Torah is ein lo chelek l'olam haba. The Gemara says, quotes a braisa, Kidvar Hashem Baza Ves Mitzaso Hefar Hikaris Tikaris Anefshi Avonaba Ze Omer Ein Torah Min Hashemayim. That the pasuk in this week's parsha, that a person is mevazid var Hashem, and therefore is chayiv kares, that's a person who says ein Torah min Hashemayim. So we have a name for a guy like this. It's called an apikores. Which of the Rambam's 13 principles is he in violation of? So it's always a good idea, by the way, just to every once in a while chazer over the animamins. I tried, in my Shabbos HaGadol drasha this year, I made a big push about trying to find the Ikarei Amuna in the Seder, and I decided, B'li Neder, to take on myself, that I would at least read the animamins once a week. It's not so much to read the animamins. They're right there in the end of Shacharis in the Siddur, because you're really supposed to read them every day. Okay, so I'm not such a good Jew, I'm not going to read them every day, but at least once a week, familiarize yourself with the animamins and read them and pay attention to them as you read them. So anyway, the animamins are obviously built on the Rambam's 13 principles of belief. Principle number 8, says the Rambam, Hayesod Hashmini, Hayos HaTorah Min HaShemayim, V'hu Shenamin Ki Kol HaTorah Azos HaNesuna Al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom, that the entirety of Torah that's given by us, to us, through Moshe Rabbeinu, She Kula Mipi HaGvura, that it all came straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kilomar, Shehigi Alav Kula Meis HaShem Yisbarach, all of the Torah came straight from Hashem, and v'chi hu, that Moshe Rabbeinu, hayikamo sofer, Shekorim lovu kosev kol ma'oros hayamim asipurim v'mitzvos. All he was a scribe. God dictated the words of the Torah. Moses wrote the words of the Torah as dictated by God, and that is it. Ulefichach nikra mechokek. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was called a mechokek. A mechokek is a scribe. He was meant to inscribe that which he was told to inscribe. Ki akol mipi agvura v'akol Torah Hashem tamima tahora u'kedosha emes. The entirety of Torah is tahora kedosha. So someone who does not believe that is an apikores. Is there any debate about the 13 Ikarei Emunah? Does everyone hold that if you don't believe in any one of these 13 things that you're an apikores? What? So there are Rishonim, several Rishonim. Probably the most famous one is the Sefer Ikrim. Sefer Ikrim is a whole Sefer where he basically disagrees with the Rambam and holds that there are not 13 Ikarei Emunah. All 13 Ikarei Emunah might be true, but there aren't 13 Ikarei Emunah. I mean, there are a lot of things that are true, but are not Ikarei Emunah, right? Like, let's say... the concept of Gilgulim, right? That the Neshama is Gilgulim. So the Arizal clearly holds that that's true. If someone denies the concept of Gilgulim, does that make him an Apikores? Certainly not, right? It's in no one's Ikarei Emunah that you need to believe in such a concept. So not every concept that exists in Judaism is an Ikar HaEmunah in Judaism. So Rav Yosef Albo knocks it down to only three. What are his Ikarim? What are his three Ikarim? Metzius Hakel, the existence of God, right? That's one. Schar va'onesh, that God punishes and rewards based on the way we behave, and it's not just a free-for-all. What's the one that's missing? Torah min ha-shamayim. The Torah. So even if you knock it down to only three core beliefs, this guy's still an apikores, right? So we have a glata apikores, like someone who really, really fulfills a certain sense of being an apikores of a very high madrega, right? This is a person who's an apikores l'chala deos. So now, here we have an apikores. So again, like I said before, simple way out of the problem is to say, nah, I'm makbid to make my own kiddush. So I mentioned this to someone, my brother-in-law. He said, wait, once you say that, you're makbid to make your own kiddush, do you now have to be makbid in every circumstance for the rest of your life to make your own kiddush? You said it. You said that you're makbid, so maybe that's a Kabbalah. He reminded me of the story when Rav Shechter came to my house for the first time for Shabbos. So I called up his son, Rav Shai, and I asked him, what do I need to know, like to make sure that your father's comfortable? I know that he doesn't have milk, he doesn't have turkey, and he doesn't have veal. Okay, we take those things off the menu, certainly not altogether, but we take them off the menu entirely. Fine. What else do I need to know before he comes for Shabbos? He's a pretty low-maintenance person, Rav Shechter. I could have served him turkey and milk and veal, and he wouldn't have said anything either. He would have just wouldn't have eaten it, but he would have... I once had a Hasidish Rebbe at my house, and it came with like a 4-page instruction sheet of like, you have to serve this then, and then this, from this hashkacha, and this, like, so Rav Shechter doesn't come like that. You know, that's not... So I asked Rav Shai. So Rav Shai said, nothing really you need to know. Offer him tea at the end of the meal. Ask him if he wants sugar. And when he says no, ask him why. I said, or instead of us doing this whole dance, why don't you just tell me why he doesn't want sugar in his tea? He said, no, it'll be better if you ask him. You'll see. So at the end of the meal came. I said, Rabbi, would you like some tea? He said, yes, please. I said, would you like some sugar in your tea? He said, no, thank you. I said, this is not a question I would normally ask, but Shai told me I'm supposed to ask this question. Why don't you want sugar in your tea? And he said, because when my wife and I first got married, we were struggling to have children. It wasn't easy for us to have children, and we decided to go to Eretz Yisrael to get brachos. He said, Rav Shechter's father-in-law, the Rebbe's and Shechter's father, was a big Talmud Chacham. He was an Alter Mirror. He was a Rebbe in Yeshiva Torah Vadas, Rav Shapira, and Rav Aaron Yeshaya. Shai is named after him. And he had a lot of friends in Eretz Yisrael who were big gadolim in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Shachter told him to go to Eretz Yisrael, get brachas from people. And apparently they were, couldn't have nine kids, so apparently it worked, right? But they went to Eretz Yisrael and they got. He has a lot of great stories from that trip. That's when he met the Stipler and he bought the Kilas Yaakovs. There are fake stories and true stories about that meeting. That's when he met the Nazir. I think he was going to visit Rav David Soloveitchik or something, and he noticed that the Nazir lived in the same building. You know who the Nazir was? Rav Kook had a Talmud who was a Nazir, an actual Nazir. So that's when he met the Nazir. He had a lot of interesting stories. So one of the things he said, once we were in Israel, we visited relatives of ours who aren't so super religious. So we weren't sure if we could trust the kashrus in their home. So they offered me tea, and I said, okay. And then they offered me sugar in the tea. And I was nervous that maybe they're not mafresh chumas and maestros. So I said, no, I don't take sugar in my tea. So once I said I don't take sugar in my tea, I figured it's probably right that I shouldn't take sugar in my tea anymore. Because once I said that, that's I should probably live up to that. So that's a tzidkus. It's a madrega. There's a similar story with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think, with kibbutz. He had a similar thing where he said, no, I don't eat kibbutz. He's a litvak. Of course he ate kibbutz. But from then on, he didn't eat kibbutz because he said it once he said it. But I think, a regular person eating at some apikoros's house who says, I'm makbet to make my own kiddush, I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. Right? I don't think he's bound by that forever. But anyway, okay, so this guy's an apikoros. So now what's the issue? The guy's going to say Kiddush. The Balabas is going to say Kiddush. What's the question? Well, the guy says, I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. I just don't believe he gave the Torah. Meaning, as a single unit and wrote every word of the Torah. So the question is in general. And Apikoros says, but you're along the right, the correct lines, Ruvain. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person says a bracha and he's an Apikoros, so is there something wrong with that bracha? Are you allowed to answer? I'm main to that bracha. Can you be yotzei with that bracha? So let me read you a halach in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes Simin Reish Tazvav, Hashomea echad mi Yisrael mevarich achas mikol habrachos. If you hear another Jew say a bracha, a regular Jew, even if you don't hear the entirety of the bracha beginning to end, even if you personally are not obligated in that bracha, but you hear someone else say a bracha, he is eating an apple, I'm not eating an apple, he says a bar priyat, chayav lano sachra v'amein. Even if you only heard the end of the bracha, bar priyat, you should answer amein. Right? People don't realize this, that answering amein is a real chiyuv. You're obligated to answer amein. A lot of times I have a different vantage point in my shul. When I'm davening, I see everybody, right? Because most people just, see everybody's back. But I see everybody, right? So a lot of times, the chazan finishes a bracha in chazaras hashatz, and they're like, nothing, no movement at all. No movement at all. There's a chiyuv to answer amen, especially by chazaras hashatz, but really by any bracha that you hear, you have an obligation to answer amen. Good. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and he says, Vaiter now, v'kihechi debetinok v'gadol shashina. Just like when it comes to, is that a leak? Is that what I'm hearing? All right, whatever. Okay, v'kihechi, where was I? I was pointing outside. Okay, here it is. Avalim haya mivarech apikores o kuti o tinok o haya gadol v'shina mimadbeya habrachos ein on nachrav amein. If the guy who's saying the bracha is an apikores, or he's a kuti, or he's a tinok, a lot of people don't realize this. Young children below the age of chinuch, if they say a bracha, you're not supposed to answer amen. That's what we call an amen yasoma, because the bracha is not a bracha, so you can't answer amen to a bracha that doesn't exist. A lot of parents mess that up, right? You're not supposed to answer. You could fake it. You could say amen, right? Without saying the actual word amen, right? So you're allowed to do that. But if not be chorus, a kuti, a tinok, or a gadol v'shina mimatbeya brachos, a guy who messes up the bracha, just says the wrong bracha, or makes up his own text of a bracha, right? I was at a wedding and a guy got the first bracha under the chuppah. What's the first bracha under the chuppah? Bari priya gafen. The guy got up and he said, Bari priya adama. I don't know why. I've seen a lot of weird things. The guy said, Bari priya adama. Okay, so someone says, Bari priya adama under the chuppah. Probably you shouldn't answer amen. It's a wrong bracha. It was the wrong nosuch. What? Did they give him something to eat? I don't think so. So anyway, so you're not supposed to answer amen after such brachos. So one of the people on the list is not bikores. You're not allowed to answer amen from the bracha, but not bikores. Says the Mishnah Berurah, from the fact that midakayil apikores v'kuti, it puts apikores and the kuti together with tinok and a gadol shashina, it sounds like the chadadina islu, that it's all the same din. And just like a tinok and a gadol shina, even if they hear the whole bracha, you're not supposed to answer amen, so too by an apikores. Even if you're every single word of the bracha, beginning to end, and you know that he didn't say, you know, baruch ata, you know, yashka, or anything else, you know that he said the exact correct words, you don't answer amen to the bracha of an apikores. Why? Why can't you answer amen to the bracha of an apikores? Shulchan Aruch says it, and Mishnah Berurah says, even if you hear the whole thing, why? What's the problem with answering amen to the bracha of apikores? So he writes, "Apikores nami ein kavanoso l'shamayim elo lavo dezara." You can't trust that the apikores, when he says God, when he says Hashem, is talking about the same guy we're talking about, the same God we're talking about. You have to assume that he's having kavanah l'shem avo dezara. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Is that true of someone who, let's say, believes in Torah min Hashamayim and creation of the world, and you know, and nevuah and this and that? Let's say he just doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim. Also one of the Ikarim ones. Meaning any one of the Ikarim ones that you're missing, you're not Bikoris, right? So you assume that when he says Baruch Ata Hashem, it means that he's talking about an Avodah Zarah? Does that even make sense? The guy believes in God. He fulfills all the mitzvahs. Why would you assume he's talking about an Avodah Zarah? So in the Bir HaLacha, he says, you got to look at what I wrote in Siman Lamed Tes. What did he write in Siman Lamed Tes? So in Siman Lamed Tes, it's in Hilchos Tefillin. The Shulchan Aruch over there says, in Hilchos Tefillin, that if an apikores writes tefillin, you should burn those tefillin. Even though it has all the shemos in it, and it has all the parashios and everything, you got to burn those tefillin. So the Bir HaLacha says, yeah, because we assume that when an apikores writes the Shem Hashem in tefillin, his kavanah is for Avodah Zarah, and his kavanah is not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Bir HaLacha, but not every apikores is the same. And this I thought was very critical to our Shaila. He says, who is an apikores who if he writes tefillin, you have to burn them? Hu ha'aduk l'avodos kochavim. That's someone who's connected to Avodah Zarah. Katie said Beis Yosef b'shem Rashi, because of Mishnah, he quotes Mar Makomos, but the Beis Yosef, because Mishnah, same person, same author, both say that apikores in that context means someone who's connected to Avodah Zarah. And he says, yeah, I know that they quote from some girsa of Rashi and Maseches Gittin that even an apikores who doesn't believe in Chazal, who doesn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, that you'd burn the tefillin that he writes as well. He says, not true. It's a mistake. Rashi never wrote that. So if a person doesn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, he doesn't believe in Chazal, is he an apikores? Yes. Do you burn his tefillin? No. So not every apikores, that every time he uses Shem Hashem, do you assume that he doesn't mean God, that he doesn't mean the same God that we mean? So if he's an apikores who just doesn't believe in Chazal, is that enough to call him an apikores? Of course it is. Is it enough to burn tefillin that he writes? No, it's not. So Nu, what would you say in our case? What would you say in our case? This guy wants to say Kiddush. What? He probably can take it. Why?
Because he still believes in God.
He believes in God. He just doesn't believe that God gave the Torah all at one time. So he's an apikores, but he doesn't meet that level of apikores that you're not allowed to answer amen, or that his bracha doesn't count. I once had a Talmud whose parents sometimes davened at a conservative shul, and we used to have a yeshiva in DRS for post high school. Like guys came back from Israel, this guy went to Hafter for high school, went to Nativ, and then he came back and he learned in our yeshiva that we had for a few years. So I was Masari Kedushin at his wedding, and his parents sometimes davened at the Young Israel Woodmere and sometimes davened at a conservative shul in the five towns. So they wanted to honor the conservative rabbi with a bracha under the chuppah, and I was the Masari Kedushin. So the shaila is, can I allow that? Can I allow the conservative rabbi to say a bracha under the chuppah? So I asked Rav Shechter, Rav Shachter said that he personally wouldn't do it because he considers everyone who says a bracha under the chuppah to be a komisaver kiddushin. That the what? Well, this was about a conservative. I'm not sure what you're asking. Yeah, yeah. So the same issue, right? So he said that he wouldn't do it, but he said technically. That's only because I wouldn't have a conservative rabbi officiate at a wedding. I wouldn't have him be a Masada Kedushin. But if you don't consider him a Kol Masada Kedushin, just someone who's saying a bracha, then the criteria is he has to believe in God. Because when he says Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, he's got to mean it. He's got to mean the right thing when he says Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, right? So as long as the Shemu Malchus means the same Shemu Malchus that we mean, that's a good enough bracha. So I thought that in this case, the guy saying Kiddush should be a good enough bracha because he believes in God. He believes Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. He has kavana for the same Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam that we have kavana for. So I thought lechora should be good. Yeah.
Is it really living in the same God if he doesn't believe that God did all the things?
Ah, very good. Right. I mean, what if a person says, "I absolutely, absolutely believe in God. God is a giant teddy bear that when you squeeze his belly, he says funny things." Right? Well, that's not God. Meaning, he could say the words, "I believe in God," but if God, to him, is Mr. Potato Head, then he doesn't believe in God. Because he believes in something he calls God. But so if you believe in a God that did not give the Torah, do you really believe in God at all? Now, the Bir Alecha says, if you believe in God but don't believe in Divrei Chazal, that Chazal are accurately portraying that which God intended, so that's, you can still say a bracha and you can still answer amen to such a bracha. Is this the same? So it's like somewhere in between. He's not denying God's existence. It's not only denying Torah Shebal Peh, he's denying like Maimir Har Sinai and parts of the Chumash itself, right? So it's somewhere in between. So Yesh Ladon, it's somewhat debatable. I later found Rav Moshe Feinstein as a tshuva in Or Chaim Chelik Beis Siman Nun, where he was asked about, sometimes Rav Moshe writes a lot of words in English because he never used modern Hebrew. So if there's a word that doesn't have a biblical Hebrew equivalent, he'll just say it in English. So Rav Moshe writes, "Hinei bedvar shemuchroch malas kvodo b'shvil ha-campaign le'inyane Eretz Yisrael la'argen banquets," I think it means banquets, right? "U'lahazmin gamas ha-rabbis shall ha-reformer of a conservativin," right, meaning he's saying that you have to, they're apparently doing a fundraising campaign for Eretz Yisrael, and they invited conservative reform rabbis. "V'gam l'chabido sam b'kibudim shonim, af b'brachos, k'mo levari chamotzi, v'lo mereiz tefila," that they were going to honor some of these rabbis to say a motzi and to say a tefila. "V'rotza malus kvodo leida da'ati ha'aniya, emein b'zech shash iser," that you want to know what I think, if it's okay to honor the conservative or reform rabbi to say bracha v'motzi lechem min ha'aretz. What's Rav Moshe going to say? What do you think he's going to say? So I would have thought, a conservative reform rabbi, a conservative rabbi, certainly in the times of Rav Moshe, believed in God, and as long as you believe in God, you're okay with the bracha. Says Rav Moshe, "Yinei lo niyas daiti barur, sha'af im hayimavarich ha'bracha kitikuna, ubelo hefsik la'achil anami." That even if he says the bracha properly and no hefsik, he says the bracha and eats right away. Kivan shu kofer ba'ashemu butaraso kerov harabai shalahem shenimtsa shaskaris hashemu atzlo rak kedvorim bi'alma lo b'kavana la'ashem yisparach ein zeh b'shem bracha klal duhu kablo shemu malchus klal. That since typically conservative reform rabbis, when they don't really believe in God, and when they say Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, they're just saying words, and they think they're just saying some sort of formula, but they don't actually mean Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. It's like a bracha without Shemu Malchus. It's a bracha that does not count. It is a bracha that does not work. Now, he seems to assume that most conservative reform rabbis deny Hashem's existence. Is that really true? Do most conservative rabbis not believe in God? I don't know if that's really true, but maybe he's saying what Reuven was saying before. Maybe he's suggesting, your middle name's Eitan? Maybe what he's suggesting is that of course they believe in God. But if you don't believe in a God that gave a Torah min Hashemayim, then you don't really believe in God. Meaning you're believing in a different God than we believe in. And therefore, the Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam doesn't work. Lich Orev, that's the case. This guy is Kofar and Torah Min HaShemayim. Also, can't say Kiddush. What's he going to say? He's going to say, V'Shabbos Kodshcha B'Avav Ratzon Hin Chaltanu. Really? Do you really believe that? Shabbos Kodshcha B'Avav Ratzon Hin Chaltanu? Right? He's going to say, Asher Kiddushonu B'Mitzvosav. It's part of the text of Kiddush. He doesn't believe Kiddushonu B'Mitzvosav. He believes a bunch of people made up all the mitzvos of the Torah with some sort of divine whatever. So then the question becomes, okay, you're going to make your own Kiddush. What if you discover the wine's not Mavushal? Right? So this guy just poured this wine and it wasn't Mavushal. So Shulchan Aruch Pastin's wine of a Mumer is considered Stam Yenam, but that's likely because of the concern that he's Menasech L'Avodah Zarah. If a person doesn't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, I'm not sure that his wine is necessarily problematic, but ideally you should opt for a Mavushal wine if you can, probably. And then what about the, just to close it up, because we ran out of time, what about the issue that we said we thought he was going to ask about, which was kashrus, right? What do we do about the kashrus? So I thought that probably he's not the one responsible for kashrus in the house. Probably it's his wife. And his wife is apparently a normal person. But she's stuck with a meshugana. No, what can you do? Sometimes people are stuck with a meshugana. So she's not going to get divorced over it. She's not prepared to get divorced over it. But she's stuck with this meshugana. Ramosha has a tshuva that if you trust a person and you know that they would never be machshil you and cause you to violate an aveira, then you're allowed to trust them even though they don't have ne'manus per se. But that tshuva is really about a very different circumstance. It was about religious parents in Russia who are very elderly, living with their children who are not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and the parents know through harbe nisyonos, Ramosha says, through testing them many times, that the child would never serve them something not kosher. So even though the child doesn't keep kosher and they don't really have technical ne'amanus, so Ramosha says, you don't need ne'amanus when you know. Ne'amanus is only for when you don't know. But you know that what they're giving you is kosher, and therefore ne'amanus doesn't enter into the cheshbon. We apply that Ramosha pretty broadly, but probably too broadly. Ramosha was very... I just want to close with one last thing. I know I'm over time already. It's probably not a great idea to give this fellow an audience to espouse his ideas, right? Meaning, I probably wouldn't accept the invitation. Meaning, there should be in the frum community some social repercussions for being an apikoros. Meaning, it shouldn't be totally socially acceptable to be an apikoros. Oh yeah, you're an apikoros, and no problem. We'll just have spirited conversation around your table. Meaning, there's a difference between kiruv and trying to have hashpah on somebody versus just allowing someone to just, espouse his apikorsus and espouse such beliefs with no penalty, meaning with no social repercussions. Meaning there's a reason we have a tight-knit Jewish community and apikorsus. Meaning if the guy was a child molester, would you accept the invitation to his house? Certainly not. If he was a ganav, there's a good chance he would not accept the invitation to his house. We should at least as a ganav. Why? Because you're standing up for the honor of the people that he stole from. You're not going to stand up for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way you stand up for the honor of the people that he stole from. We should stand up for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit. So again, there's kiruv, but this doesn't sound like a kiruv type of situation. Probably we shouldn't give such people a platform. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!